We are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, text number 67. Translation: after considering his advanced age and deliberating on the welfare of his spiritual self, King Uttanapad detached himself from worldly affairs and entered the forest. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is the sign of a Rajarshi. King Uttanapad was very opulent and was emperor of the world, and these attachments were certainly very great. Modern politicians are not as great as kings like Maharaj Uttanapad, but because they get some political power for some days, they become so much attached to their positions that they never retire unless they are removed from their posts by cruel death or killed by some opposing political party. It is within our experience that the politicians in India do not quit their positions until death. This was not the practice in olden days, as it is evident from the behavior of King Uttanapad. Immediately after installing his worthy son, Dhruva Maharaj, on the throne, he left his home and palace. There are hundreds and thousands of instances like this, in which kings, in their mature age, would give up their kingdom and go to the forest to practice austerity. Practice of austerity is the main business of human life. As Maharaj Dhruva practiced austerity in his early age, his father, Maharaj Uttanapad, in his old age, also practiced austerity in the forest. In modern days, however, it is not possible to give up one's home and go to the forest to practice austerity. But if people of all ages would take shelter of the Krishna consciousness movement and practice the simple austerities of no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating, and chant the Hare Krishna mantra regularly, 16 rounds, by this practical method, it would be a very easy task to get salvation from this material world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 4th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home. Translation again: after considering his advanced age and deliberating on the welfare of his spiritual self, King Uttanapad detached himself from worldly affairs and entered the forest. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the significant word in this verse, pravyayasam, meaning one advanced in age. So you may be thinking, well, I'm not advanced in age, so this doesn't apply to me. But Prabhupada points out that Maharaj Uttanapad, he practiced austerities in his elderly age. But Dhruva Maharaj, he did his austerities when he was a young boy. The important thing in human life is to practice austerity. One should voluntarily accept austerity. And what is austerity? As Prabhupada describes, that of course we cannot do austerity like Maharaj Uttanapad. We're not able to go and live in the forest. But austerity is to practice these regulative principles: cleanliness, mercy, austerity, and truthfulness, giving up all bad habits, and chanting the holy name of God. This is the austerity of Kali Yuga. What was done by the sages like Kardama Muni, for thousands of years in the Satya Yuga, living in the forest. It can be done in the Kali Yuga in a few short years by simply chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and following the regulative principles. It is a great austerity. But this austerity is necessary for purifying our existence. The human life is rarely achieved. The Vedic system provides that in the beginning of life, one should practice brahmacharya life. One should go to the home of the spiritual master and live in the home of the guru, and there study spiritual science. Komar acharat prakno dharmam bhagavatam niha. Prahlad Maharaj described. In the very beginning of life, Kumar, when one is young boy, one is meant to learn the principles of religion, Bhagavad Dharma. For most of us, we were not fortunate. We went to some mundane educational institute and we simply learned how to play cricket and do other things, passing the day, playing with balls. Then we were influenced by television and we started to go to movies and watch so many other mundane things. And in this way, any thought of austerity was far away from the mind. In fact, everyone thinks that human life is meant for sense gratification. They won't admit that human life is meant for austerity. They say human life is simply meant for enjoying, that we're meant to eat everything. They think this isn't the highest enjoyment, that I can eat everything. I don't have to discriminate. I can eat anything. I was telling someone, you come to our temple, we have nice vegetarian meals. He said, I can eat vegetarian. I can eat non-vegetarian also. I can eat everything. He thought it was very good. Thinking is very fortunate. They can eat everything and people drink everything now, of course, as well. They're so blind. They do not know what human life is meant for, that there are rules to be followed. Just like here, we see the example of Maharaj Uttanapat, that he is a Rajarshi. So, as soon as the son is qualified to take the responsibility, he departs from the kingdom and he gives up so much power and opulence to go to the forest voluntarily, not by force. In the same way, the Vedas prescribe that in human form of life, there should also be compulsory retirement. The Vedas say, pancha sorvam vanam brajet. That from the age of 50, one should retire to the forest. The human life should be divided. The beginning of life is for practicing brahmachari life. Then, one can become householder, married, have a family, and have some sense gratification in the home. But that is not expected to be eternal. One should not simply remain at home till the fag end of life and think, I will die peacefully in my home with my family members. That is foolishness. That is not real human life. The Vedic scriptures prescribe that before the end of life, one should prepare for the next life. How to prepare for the next life? One has to voluntarily accept austerity. But if we do not accept austerity, then austerity will be forced on us. It is better to accept voluntarily rather than by force. Just like what Prabhupada was asked by one young man, he said, why should we bow down? Why do we have to bow down when we come to the temple? So Prabhupada explained to him that if you do not bow down on your own free will, you will bow down by force. You will have to bow down to disease, old age, and death. Is anybody not going to bow down to these things? You don't like to bow down to God, but you have to bow down to old age, you have to bow down to disease, and you have to bow down to death. But if you learn to bow down to God, to the Supreme Lord in His Vigraha form in the temple, by bowing down before the Lord, you will be free from old age, disease and death. Is it better to bow down willingly, voluntarily, before the form of the Lord? Or is it better just to be forced to bow down to old age, disease and death? I think we all agree it is better to bow down before the Lord. In the same way, we should voluntarily accept austerities. If we do not accept voluntarily the austerities provided by the Vedic scriptures, then we are forced to accept austerity. We will be forced to restrict our eating, our sleeping, our mating, and our defending. The laws of nature are so stringent and so powerful. The more we engage in unrestricted sense gratification, the more we have to suffer. And the sufferings of the material existence will force us to restrict our eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So the Krishna consciousness movement provides, we promote natural austerity, healthy austerity, an austerity which is pleasing. People think austerity means sticking nails in yourself or, you know, something, doing something cruel to the body. But the austerities which are recommended in Krishna consciousness are very powerful, purifying, healthy, and pleasurable. Just like we do not say, do not eat. We simply say, eat Krishna prasadam. People want to eat everything, but they do not realize that they're eating of animal foods, impure foodstuffs. It's just like the camel which chews thorns. Sometimes in the desert area, you will see the camel taking the thorny bushes and chewing them. And as he chews the thorny bushes, the camel will cut its own tongue, and he will taste the blood from his own tongue. And he will think, oh, very nice taste. Now I am enjoying the nice taste of these bushes. So in the same way, people who eat all kinds of impure, contaminated foodstuffs in the form of meat, fish, and eggs, they are just like the foolish camel who is tasting the blood of its own tongue. And they cannot find any real pleasure from these things. The Krishna consciousness movement recommend people to accept the vegetarian diet of foodstuffs, not just simply vegetarian, but spiritual food, food which is offered to the Lord. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that He is a vegetarian. He does not eat meat, fish and eggs. Therefore, we cannot offer these things to Him. The Lord likes fruit, flowers, leaves, and such things. And we offer these things with love and devotion, and we take the remnants of this food. So in this way, the eating process is controlled. People nowadays also like unrestricted sexual relationships. In married, it is not sufficient to be married to have legal sexual relationships. In married life, there is also religious principles. And in married life, relationships between husband and wife are meant for producing a child. Any other purpose is simply sinful activity. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Varuda Bhuteshu Kamosmi Bharatarsambha, that I am that sex life which is according to religious principles. Which means husband and wife should relate, they should have relationships simply for producing God-conscious children and not for unrestricted sense gratification. It is very sinful to make use of birth control techniques and to encourage abortion. These things are very sinful and they create havoc in the society and on the planet. The Krishna consciousness movement recommends brahmacharya. If you do not want to accept the responsibility of children, then you should accept the path of brahmacharya. That is also good for health. It is ensures longer life, greater energy, and more peaceful mind. Intoxication is also discouraged by the Krishna consciousness movement. Intoxication comes in the form of all kinds of artificial stimulants, including tea and coffee, modern so-called refreshments. People have become so addicted to their morning tea that even before they get up from the bed, they have to have a cup of tea. They do not call the holy name. They simply call chai. So this is the perverted condition of people in the Kali Yuga, that they're addicted to all of these artificial stimulants. These things are not good for health, and neither are they recommended in the spiritual path. We simply become dependent on these things. It is very bad for health. People become addicted. They think, they don't realize that these things are addictive, just like tea and coffee. People become very addicted to these things. They cannot live without them. They have to have them. These things are not offerable to Krishna. Krishna never takes tea or coffee. He will take buttermilk. He will take some yogurt or milk, but not tea and coffee. This is Chinese culture and American culture. Huh? Tea comes from China. The Chinese claim it's their greatest contribution to the culture of the world. They're thinking this is culture, drinking tea. The disciplic succession of tea is from China to the British, and then the British brought tea to India. And the blind follow the blind. So we should follow the Mahajans, the saintly kings. They are not addicted to tea or coffee or any such things, Coca-Cola and so on. No, we have to recognize the things which are provided by nature, natural resources in the form of milk and water and fruits and such things. They are meant for the real health and spiritual upliftment of people. So finally, gambling is also discouraged by the Krishna consciousness movement. We have talked about meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Gambling is something which is always going on. People gamble. Practically, you cannot cross the road without gambling these days. It's a gamble just to walk across the road. You don't know if something's going to come flying and hit you. We are gambling every time we waste a moment of our time, because this human form of life is very rare and we have limited time. If we waste our time in nonsense activities, then we are gambling, because time is the most valuable thing we have. Chanakya Pandit has explained, this is one thing in which both China and India agree. The sages of the past in both China and India, they both speak about the value of time. Chanakya Pandit said that one moment lost cannot be brought back or bought, purchased for any amount of wealth. In China, they have this similar saying that an inch of time is more valuable than an inch of gold, because that one inch of gold cannot buy one inch of time. However, time moves like the arrow. It moves very fast. You don't see the arrow move. You hear it when it hits. And similarly, time is also moving very fast. If we are not making the proper use of our time, then we're simply gambling with this human form of life. It's the greatest risk. We should be very careful to make proper use of our time. Gambling is not just simply playing cards, going to the casinos, or purchasing lottery tickets, and so on. But gambling is wasting this human form of life, wasting our valuable time in unnecessary, frivolous activities. We should be very careful to try to make the best use of this human form of life. So, this is some austerity. But if we practice this simple austerity, it is actually a pleasure. Because instead of trying to bring some flickering pleasure to this body and material senses, we can awaken the pleasure of the soul. Bhagavad Gita explains, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasha dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. That the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but by ceasing such enjoyment, by experiencing a higher pleasure, one is fixed in consciousness. So the purpose of these four principles, which we are describing as austerity, is to experience the higher pleasure. That there is a great pleasure in spiritual activities. We find pleasure in taking part in all the devotional activities, hearing about Krishna and chanting the holy name of Krishna. We do not pay people to dance in the kirtan every morning. Nobody's getting salaries for it. But people are coming every morning, 4:30, and they're chanting and dancing happily. They're enjoying. They're feeling their day become auspicious by beginning the day in this way. This is a fact, that our life will become auspicious. Actually, there's nothing auspicious in the world these days. In material life, intoxication, gambling, meat eating and so on, these things are not auspicious. But when you come and chant the holy name of the Lord, you see the deity form, this is auspicious. So this is how to make the best use of this human form of life. This little austerity. Waking up early in the morning is also a pleasure. You'll miss a lot of traffic. There's no traffic at 4:30 in the morning. You don't have to worry about all the people and the traffic lights and so on. So it's very convenient, very peaceful to move, to come to the temple. It's a pleasure. In other words, you sleep a little earlier and you can wake up early, take advantage of the auspicious time of the day, the Brahma Muhurta, to engage in devotional activities. And the result is, in this way you become freed from the miseries of material existence. Old age, disease and death are no longer a burden. So, those of you who are busy in the material world with responsibilities, you have not yet retired, you can look forward to the time when you give up your material occupation to come to the Krishna conscious centers to take up spiritual service. We can warn you, there is no retirement in spiritual activities. People retire from mundane material activities, but we do not retire from spiritual activities. Rather, we give up the material activities to take up more spiritual duties. The older we become, the more we have to absorb ourselves in Krishna's service. I don't know if any of you read one article which was published in the Back to Godhead magazine some time back. It described one elderly couple who live in Los Angeles. And they're in their upper 80s. And they go to the Los Angeles temple every morning. And they go at very early in the morning, long before the Mongol Aarti. And the husband personally performs the Mongol Aarti. And his wife helps him to prepare for the Aarti, making the offering and setting the different paraphernalia. So this couple are a very nice example. They're both in their upper 80s and they're going to temple every morning and doing service, serving the deities. So, like the, there's, don't think you're going, that, oh, as you get older, you have to retire. You have to do less. No, the idea is you have to do more. And we see this also in the life of Srila Prabhupada, that our spiritual founder, Prabhupada, that as he aged, he worked harder. He slept less, ate less, wrote more books, and preached more vigorously all over the world. He didn't think, now I'm getting old, I have to stop. He showed us the example that just like if you're running a race, when you get to the last lap, that's the final sprint, right? You have to really go fast, the last lap. So Prabhupada was like that. In the final sprint, Prabhupada was all out, opening more centers, building temples, printing books, and pushing the devotees more and more. So like this is the mood of Krishna consciousness. It is actually, this is the ecstasy. This is the pleasure, taking pleasure in these things. So austerity is not something to run away from. Austerity is something to embrace. But we have to know what is actual austerity. Real austerity means utilizing everything for Krishna. Using this body, this mind, and our words, everything, 100% dedicated to the service of Lord Sri Krishna. This is the goal of human life, and this is the real purpose of austerity. We should understand the teaching here from Maharaj Uttanapada and how to apply it in Krishna consciousness in this modern time. Are there any questions or comments?
Practical issue. Sometimes devotees they want to invest some donation in land and wait for a few years and get the profit in a bigger way. Is this gambling or not?
Well, no. It's not really in a strict sense. I mean, you could say it's a gamble. There's no guarantee that the value of the land is going to increase. But at the same time, you know, householders do need to have some resources. They need to have some savings behind them. You know, they have to think about their own security, their family members. So, generally, we do not discourage people from doing such things as that. I mean, you could say it's a gamble just to keep money in the bank, you know. That's also a gamble. The value of the money will become less, you know. We see the rupee may become more devalued like that. So it's a gamble just how to keep the money. Should we keep gold? Maybe we should buy gold, you know. Like, but one way or another, you know, This is a business of householders, that they have to have some arrangement to maintain themselves, to look after their family members and to ensure their security. So we cannot tell people, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. It's that householders have to do these things. They have to have some money behind them. Similarly, also temples, you know, to maintain temples. Prabhupada put some fund in the bank for the MVT, Mayapur Vrindavan Trust. Because Prabhupada said that even if all the Krishna consciousness movement temples fall apart, at least Mayapur and Vrindavan should go on. So he put some fund there for that. And that the interest from that would go to develop or to maintain these two temples. So, you know, that's not a gamble. That's practical. Krishna gives intelligence how to be practical, that you can maintain your Krishna consciousness. So I don't see that as being a gamble, as being prohibited, something which you shouldn't do. No. We have to be practical. We have to do whatever is necessary to allow us to practice Krishna consciousness. Just like we have some devotees, they also maintain themselves by doing the stock market. You know, the stock market is also a type of gambling. But they do it just simply to maintain their life. They're not dealing big amounts of money. You know, they're not very rich people. They don't have a lot of money to invest. They have some small amount of money and they're able to make a little interest off it by buying and selling different shares that they can maintain themselves. Rather than going off to work all day in an office, they can stay at home, they can do their puja, and they can just spend less time working, and they have more time for devotional service. So this is okay, like this. We have to be practical. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, as you have mentioned that austerity means using everything in Krishna service. So, as a neophyte devotee, he may not use everything in Krishna service. So, how, you know, he can utilize everything in Krishna service? Hence, or seeing things in relation to Krishna.
Well, I was explaining that you have to eliminate all the unnecessary things. You have to just keep those things which are which we're actually doing in Krishna's service, and then the other things, you get rid of them. You don't have time for them. Right? So we have to know what is actually related to Krishna and to our devotional service. We have to have that intelligence to discriminate what things are actually good for our Krishna consciousness, what things are required. Now, if we think, you know, I have to spend 2 hours every day reading the newspaper to know what's going on in the material world, you know, maybe that's not so necessary. Maybe you don't need to spend so much time every day reading the newspaper just to keep up with the world affairs. Sometimes people think, I have to have some exercise, physical exercise. So they go off and they may go to the gym and do weightlifting, and they have these jogging machines. You know, you get a jogging machine now. People have these things in their home, and they will do exercise. You know, they don't go outside to run because there's no nice places. So they have something in their home, or they go to a studio where they have these keep fit machines, you know, and you can do a lot of running and like that, you know, standing on the one place. So, you know, yeah, we have to keep the body healthy, but how much time we have to spend to keep the body healthy, that has to be considered, you know. If it takes half the day every day, then that's not very good. You know, but if you're taking a half an hour a day, then that's reasonable. Prabhupada used to keep himself fit by going for a brisk walk every morning. And Baladev Vijayabhusan also recommends, you can go for a morning walk and chant the holy name. It's not wrong to take a nice morning walk and chant Hare Krishna. That is one way. Prabhupada will go for a nice walk, an hour or more, and walk fast. And by walking fast, builds that helps digestion, improves digestion. Not running, not jogging, just walking fast. And this way, Prabhupada kept his health. So like this, you have to discriminate, you know, of course you have to have some time, you have to spend time, you're a married man, you have a family, you have to spend time with your wife, she wants, you know, you have to speak to her, you have children, you have to spend time with your children, you know, you have to do these things, you know, you can't say, oh, this is my, I don't have time to talk to you, you know, that will not be, that's not very good, that's not proper, that will put strains in the family life. So we have to have the intelligence to know, to balance these things. Not that you have to spend the whole day talking to your wife, you know, that every day, the whole day, every minute with her and with your children, but you need to do, you do have to spend some time with them. That's required. So like that, it's not easy to, you know, say exactly what you have to do and what you shouldn't do. You know, you have to be intelligent yourself to understand, to do the necessary, do what is required. Krishna's in your heart and Krishna will give intelligence. Anybody else has any question, comment? Okay, then we will stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.